Geek Free with Simon O'Connor. Fridays at 10 a.m. right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, I'm very pleased to introduce my next guest from Parliament. He's a name actually a number of people will know already, particularly if you are in or from Wellington. It's Andy Foster. He's a New Zealand First MP. This is his first term in Parliament. But amongst many claims to fame, of course, he used to be the Mayor of Wellington, but there's much more to him than that. So Andy, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Simon. It's a pleasure to be here.
How are you enjoying parliamentary life after hanging up those mayoral chains?
Well, I'm loving it, actually. The mayoral chains, of course, the electorate decided they wanted me to hang them up. So that's the way that's the way these things go.
Damn democracy.
Not sure they're all that keen on the result following that. But really enjoying it. Being a mayor is a very, very tough job, particularly in the circumstances, you know, a major city. So you've got the full glare of the media scrutiny. And in my case, with a very difficult circumstances around, you know, COVID and infrastructure failures, and then having to try and deal with that with the council, which was anything but helpful.
So is parliamentary life then easier or harder in contrast?
Well, I've said this quite often that I was on another radio show, and the first question was, what's the pay packet like? And I thought, well, that's an interesting question. I said, well, pretty much the same as what it was. But the big difference is I've got a team that's got my back as opposed to stabbing me in it. And that's, you know, so I'm really enjoying that. That collegiality, and that actually even extends across the house too. You know, you would well know that you can work quite well with members of the opposition. This is the theatre of the house, which doesn't display that, but you know, in a select committee environment, you can work well together, and obviously talking around the corridors as well.
I'm pleased you share that, because I think, and you'll know it, obviously been in Parliament, but most New Zealanders only see the small snippets in mainstream media, often of Question Time, which is theatre, it's robust, whereas most of the time, actually, it's 100, well, not all 120, there's always some, I'm not going to name anyone, there's always the odd,
well, I know
the odd
you
one.
Mean.
But, yeah, exactly. But actually, most MPs, doesn't matter if they're green, red, blue, black, we actually can talk and get on very civilised.
By and large, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
You've got to watch your P's and Q's, of course.
You do. Oh, look, they'll take any opportunity if you can get a story out. But it's actually quite a constructive place. I mean, have you been – well, is there anything that surprised you coming into Parliament?
Oh, look, people say, was it what you expected often in things in life? And I don't actually go into things with the expectations. I just go into them and treat them as what they are. I think the fun thing about Parliament is that often, you know, every week, sometimes even every day, and particularly when the house is operating, you see something happen. There's an interaction. There's a use of the rules, the standing orders, whatever it might be, the way in which people are interacting and sparking off each other. And you go, that was different. And that's usually the one that ends up on the news.
That is true. I used to talk about it as filling a teacup with a fire hose. There's just so much information coming in. In fact, just before we came on air, you were talking to me about the difference between being busy versus being, if you will, urgent versus that which is important. Just talk us through a little bit of your distinctions and thinking in that space, because I think it sums up political life perfectly.
Yeah, well, I think it's that thing of what are the demands that get put on you in any given day? And often it's what's the immediate thing? What's the thing that the media want to deal with? What's the thing that's that if you like is urgent, and yet is that the important thing? It's the ability to be able to say, well, I'm not going to lose focus on the things that are actually really important, that are really going to make a difference, as opposed to the things which are just the noise of today.
I mean, is there has there been life experience in your case which helps you discern that? Because that busyness of political life, certainly parliamentary life, it just doesn't end. I mean, you'll be able to give listeners a bit of a sense, just the number of emails and the texts and the WhatsApp chats and people coming to your door, it never ends. So how does Andy Foster create some space to ponder the more, if you will, urgent and important issues?
I think for me, it's that formidable. I've got my list of things that need to be done, and that gets added to it at a frightening pace. but it's those things. It's those things which actually you look at and say that could genuinely make a difference for New Zealand Inc. It could make the boat go faster. It could fix a really big problem, a societal problem, the economic opportunity, whatever it might be. Those are the ones that really you don't want to lose focus on.
So what's then drawn you into that parliamentary or central government life? As I said, you've worked a lot in the community, obviously leadership as a mayor, but you find yourself in parliament now. What is leading you? What are some of the things that have driven you to be in parliament? I think a little hint of it you've just touched on, which is seeing people, hearing what their issues are and trying to address them. But yeah, what's drawn you into parliament?
Well, if I went way back in time, I mean, it's central government, local government, it's the same, in a sense, the same thing. And there are only two ways, actually, to be fair, of trying to make a difference for your community. So many people do that in many, many, many wonderful ways outside of politics. So politics just happens to be one of those ways when you can make a difference. You can be a community or a national leader. And you know, those are privileged roles which our communities put us there. And so that really is what it is. I started out, I got involved in politics when I saw some things which the government of the day, and I'm going back to the 1980s here, showing my age a bit, but the government of the day was doing things that the you know, a lot of people didn't like, didn't take the country with them. And I thought, well, you know, you can either complain about it or you can get involved. And I thought, I'll get involved. I ended up pretty quickly after that being part of the National Party Research Unit under Jim Bolger. And that started a political journey which ended up pretty quickly morphing into local government and many, many years in local government. And I think it's really that thing of being able to see the issues and challenges which keep on changing all the time that are in front of you. So, you know, some people say about, particularly about local government, they say, well, if you haven't achieved everything you intended to achieve when you started, you know, after, say, 6 years, well, you're a complete waste of space because you should have finished the job. And it's like going, well, but there are new things. There are new opportunities. You see new ideas. You engage with people. You see an opportunity to make a difference. And you also start putting connections together. If you're a bit here and a bit there and a bit there, and you can see a new idea. I think it's when you run out of ideas and you run out of the enthusiasm to push those things that's the time to leave, not some arbitrary time. I was having that conversation with who was it? Oh, somebody in the arts actually yesterday. I said, well, you know, when you entered the arts, did you say, well, I'll have done everything that I can possibly do in the arts within 6 years, and then I should walk away because I finished? And the answer is, of course not, because I've got better at what I've done over that period of time. I've learnt lots. I've learnt from all kinds of people. I've experienced things, and I'm better at what I do as a result of that. So that's a fairly long answer.
No, but it absolutely resonates with me, at least two. One is that whole reactionary drive into politics. You know, some will often have absolute, and it's never, it's not black and white, but a lot of people have certain things they want to go in and achieve per se, but a lot of us, and I would put myself in this camp too, was reacting to what was happening in politics at the time. I went, right, I'm going to try and make a difference. That sort of catalyst there. But the other is, like your life has been to date, you're listening to people, you're engaging with people, and that affects the way you think and perceive things. So for you, obviously, we keep talking about the mayoralty and local government, but I mean, what are some of the, if you will, broader issues that you're interested in at the moment? Because I know you travel quite a bit around the country, engaging with different people and groups. I mean, is there a particular set of areas that you're focusing in on, or you're covering everything?
No. I'll answer that in two parts. First part of it is, as I'm a List MP, so I don't have a particular constituency. So when we're not sitting in the House, my constituency, I say, starts at North Cape and ends somewhere south of Stewart Island. And so I go. I spend a lot of time going around the country talking with, and more importantly, listening to organisations and people who are working in the areas that I've got responsibilities for. So I chair the Transport and Infrastructure Select Committee. So Transport Infrastructure is fairly clear. That also includes energy and building and construction.
And you've got to hold my friend Simeon Brown to account. So I'm going to say this on air.
I have lots of conversations with Simeon and. You know, I keep making suggestions about various different things. I'm also our spokesperson. So what we do is we've got spokespeople for those areas where we don't have the minister within the coalition. So I'm the spokesperson for New Zealand First for housing, local government, conservation, education, civil defence, constitutional and electoral issues, science and technology, and sport and recreation. So there's a lot of people across a lot of areas. And, you know, my other backbench colleagues have got, you know, similarly wide responsibilities. So it means there's a lot of people to get out and go and engage with. So, and there's some really exciting things to hear from them and some opportunities that those things open up. So look, if can we help you with something that will make New Zealand Inc. a better place?
How do you balance all of that? And I'm not going to go out at length because it's me interviewing you, but I found when I was in picking opposition, multiple portfolios, it actually became quite, I found it quite hard to balance purely from a time zone. By the time I've dealt with customs and arts and culture and heritage and foreign affairs, it's just like, oh my Lord. So, I mean, what's your approach? I mean, you've got a huge list of responsibilities there.
It's a lot, and it is challenging. Sometimes it's where can you make the biggest difference? So, I mean, every time I go in and, you know, if I go away for a day and I've got four or five meetings in that day, you know, there'll be probably 8 or 10 things that come out of that, which are things which I want to follow up. So it's, it's a matter of trying to work through them. But sometimes there are things which are themes which actually come together from a number of different perspectives. So, for example, I've gone and seen a good chunk of the airports and the ports over the last little while, as you know, it's the part of the infrastructure. You start getting a bit of a picture of the issues, opportunities, and different views that there are across the industry, across those particular industries, and of course, and the airlines as well. For example, in that case too.
Well, it's one of the great privileges, if I could use that word, of being an MP, that actually these organisations open the door to you. Obviously, they've got their message they want to get across, but you get to see some pretty cool things, but you're always learning. As you said at the start, it's about
100%.
It's about listening. Do you have a members bill at the moment as well? Is there a particular issue that you're trying to prosecute if it gets pulled out of the ballot?
Oh, well, I've got one that's in the ballot. We're only allowed, for listeners, we're only allowed one. So this is backbenchers, so you're not allowed to, you know, the ministers can't put them in. They end up with government bills. So we get to put one in. It goes into literally a biscuit tin, and it gets drawn out you know, at random. So if you're lucky to get drawn out, there's 8 of them out at any one time. I've got one in at the moment, which is on freedom of speech. And it's at the moment, it's just about saying to public owners of halls and venues that you can't deny or can't put onerous conditions on any given hirer just because somebody, whether it's you or somebody else, doesn't like their message or might not like their message, or is just they might say something which might upset somebody. So that's where it's at the moment. But I actually think there's a bigger issue with freedom of speech, and it's particularly we're seeing particularly unfortunately in universities, to a degree in schools as well. I mean, we've had a couple of examples of school pupils not being allowed to give a speech because somebody might get upset by it. And many examples in universities of staff or would-be, you know, people want to come in and give a message and not being allowed to do it because somebody might get offended by it. Now, that's a concern. So there's a possibility. We're just having a bit of a think about whether we can expand that bill, pull it back out, put it back in again with an expansion to cover that issue. Because it's really important. It's a tricky one, but it's really important. And I've got multiple other ones which I'd like to be put in the ballot as well. So we might do a bit of juggling around with some of those or try and get someone else to farm out. The best bit will be getting a bill in and the government looking at it going, oh, that's a good idea. We'll adopt that one.
I've seen that happen a few times. And at one level, you sort of feel gypped because, you put an idea in and they nick it and they don't tend to say, oh, well, thanks, Simon, or thanks, Andy. They just take it. But you sort of, at one level, you're pleased it's gone forward. I hope you have more luck than I ever did. I only had one bill drawn out of the biscuit tin, and it turned out to be a lemon of an idea that I want to stress was given to me because we just had to have them. So I had to ignominiously write to the clerks of the house, Andy, and have it withdrawn. So I hope you have more luck. But look, I think it's fantastic. Look, I'm a great proponent of free speech. And while at one level I think it's scandalous that we even need laws like the ones you're proposing, the fact is we do need them. There's far too many places trying to shut down conversations on the base of offence. So I'm just thrilled that you've got it and thinking about how you can expand it as well.
Yeah, very important for any democracy. So thank you.
Well, final question about democracy, and it's a simple one, but how are you finding the debating chamber? How are you finding that bear pit?
It's interesting. You sit in there for the first time and you're going, wow, you know, this is Parliament. This is this, you know, these walls sort of talk in some ways. That's the Hansard. But it's a very special privilege to be in the place. As I said, there's a lot of theatre in it, particularly at question time, and sometimes you're looking across at the opposition and you're going, you guys don't really believe what you're saying on this particular one. But other times you do. That's real. I mean,
you can sense the change, can't you?
Sorry?
You can sense the change when they really believe in something they're asking versus just.
I think so, yeah. I think there's there's a different challenge. Normally when you're speaking in most places, you don't have people yelling back at you. So that is a challenge sometimes. It doesn't happen all the time, it happens sometimes. Often in Parliament, people watching Parliament will go, there's only 15 or 20 people in the House at that particular time. The rest will be off around the campus doing, having meetings or doing reading or whatever, or they'll be out, ministers out and that sort of thing. So that's just so people know that kind of thing. Those are usually quieter and more gentle than if you've got a large number of people, but it can be a bit daunting, but you get used to it and you get better at it. And that's the one thing I'm always amazed at is how good, and it's always opposition MPs, it's during there's a process in the legislation, as you know, but listeners may not know, called the Committee of the Whole House. Mm-hmm. And that's where people are asking questions of the minister, or if it's a member's bill, the member who's got promoting the bill, about all aspects of the bill. They tend to make long speeches and they might put a question in there. And it's just amazing to me how people can filibuster at that length of time. It's a great talent, completely useless talent, but it's a great talent all the same.
It is. It used to be almost a game, without taking away from the seriousness of democracy, of, yeah, how long could you keep a speech going in that committee stage while keeping it relevant and trying to catch the minister out? It was it's a funny art form, and it's part of our wonderful democracy. So Andy, it's great that you're there, and I am just so thrilled you found the time in an exceptionally busy schedule to come on and talk with us. So we wish you well, and without me being partisan, so to speak, I hope your bill gets drawn out of the ballot.
Oh, thank you, Simon. And look, anytime, love to talk some more as we go through, and we can talk about specific issues that are that are coming up. That'd be really great.
It'll be great to have you back on and to do that. So it'd be incredibly welcome, because I know listeners enjoy that sort of political engagement. Yeah. So that was Andy Foster. He's a List MP for the New Zealand First Parliament, his first term in Parliament. So Andy, thanks again.
Thank you. Thanks, Simon.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.